Collective Liquidity Podcast. Insights on the go from Kyriba.
Welcome back to the Active Liquidity Podcast from Kyriba. We're pleased to have Wolfgang Koster, Chief Evangelist at Kyriba, to discuss part two of the velocity of money, what the board expects from the CFO in today's crisis. Wolfgang, what should financial professionals be doing now to prepare for the future and the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like this is not a sprint. Unfortunately, this will be a marathon. And I know that that's sometimes an overused term, but, you know, yes, we hope to, within the country, be able to travel again in May, June. But no one knows yet when we actually are going to start traveling internationally. I was talking early this morning to Germany, for example, had a consulting firm on who thought that besides the inter-Germany and maybe Germany to Vienna, the next one will be pushed pretty hard just by the Emirates to go from Dubai into Germany and vice versa to get that commerce back going. You're going to start seeing this, but it's going to take quite a while to do and probably, unfortunately, longer than we expect, though I truly hope I'm wrong on this. But unfortunately, I'm not sure I am wrong on this. So one of all is you really, yes, this is not over and likely will carry us through most of the rest of the year. But once it is surpassed, what is for sure that it will change many things forever. And in these terms of crises, you end up having an evolution, and this will have impacts on logistics and communications, on medicine, on transportation, and, you know, quite frankly, the social impacts of that are tremendous. And so that goes well beyond finance. You know, I could envision that this changes the way Uber does business. People may think twice about going into an Uber where every 10, 20 minutes somebody else is sat in there and the driver's been sitting there all day long. How sanitized is that? Is that going to accelerate autonomous cars? I think that's quite likely. I don't know. So I'm just trying to not just have always finance examples, but we're going to see significant changes in the gastronomy. Not going to be the same the way we used to go to restaurants. So, you know, you look at history, when you look at the two world wars, they started and was really a period of evolution from the beginning of World War I into the end of World War II, where we started with engaging in warfare with horses and ended up with the start of the atomic age, which had all these impacts on logistics, communications, medicine, and social at the end of the day. What were the social responsibilities of the atomic energy? And you're going to have the same thing in this area of finance. So mobility is going to be a significant outcome of this as well, is people are rethinking where they should be working from, what is good. Are we going to really continue to have flexible offices, or are we going to go back to individual offices for everybody? Are we going to have open plans with closed plans, or half the workforce expected to work from home? So there's going to be lots of questions that are forever going to change the way we work and the way we live.
Indeed. There are a lot of changes happening at the moment. Wolfgang, do you expect additional changes such as regulatory or legal changes that may impact financial professionals and corporates?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, out of every one of these crises, you have a serious regulatory and legal changes that, quite frankly, typically start in the United States and have for many hundreds of years. So if you look at, for example, we all remember the Enron crisis, to just put something out. Well, out of that came Financial Accounting Standard 133. That's what it was called at the time, because there was an abuse the way that Enron accounted for hedging. And that forever changed the way that corporations needed to be transparent and needed to show and needed how to account for the hedges, cash flow hedges. You know, you used to have the saying that assets equal liabilities and owner equities. Well, they forgot this little thing called foreign exchange. So they added foreign exchange into that formula on both sides and really then put it into the bottom line to be translated from the balance sheet into the income statement. Again, regulatory. you know, when you saw the banking crisis 2008, serious regulatory issues with respect to Bank of International Settlement. I think what you're going to see out of here, and I'm already hearing the talks about it, is the regulatory changes for corporations and how they report on their liquidity and how they communicate that liquidity to investors. It won't be good enough to just show, well, this is how much cash I have, and here's kind of my debt structure. It'll be much more focused on the three liquidity ratios that I mentioned earlier about current, quick, and cash ratios. So I'm anticipating a lot of work done here that is going to be impacting reporting by corporations.
Oh, I see what you're saying about those regulatory changes, FASB 133, as you mentioned. Perhaps stronger incentives or disincentives for those CFOs who aren't reporting liquidity accurately.
So the investors are going to demand, just like boards are right now, much more clarity around what the liquidities are and have accurate reporting on that. So just putting all the cash data together once a quarter is likely going to not be enough. So they're going to rely on more data, and it's always that way. One of the things that come out of these crises is, if we would have known this, we probably would have done something differently. And so we need more clarity around that. And that's always what these regulatory bodies do.
Can you tell us a little bit about the recession that we're experiencing now? Is it a recession? And if so, how long do you think it'll last?
Yeah, it's that's the, as the proverbial million-dollar question. I mean, we certainly are in a recession. Nobody knows how deep this is going to go. And, you know, but it all depends on how quick, and everybody knows this, how quick we're going to get back to normal economic conditions. And again, a key factor of that is the velocity of money and the distribution and accuracy of the distribution of money, and the lack of abuse by companies. We're already starting to see the first reports of companies getting money that shouldn't have or didn't need to, et cetera, et cetera. So to do a better job in that is going to be important. And it'll get us out of there. And it's that, I think, is in itself a pretty deep topic. And I think sticking with on the parts of liquidity is probably good enough for now, because, yes, we will be in a recession. It'll be a global recession. And we all hope that we're going to be able to get out of it real quickly. But it's an issue. You know, if you all of a sudden have a restaurant and it's been closed down and now you think it's going to be really easy to open back up, well, you first have to think about restarting your business. It's almost like restarting your business for a restaurant. You have to start again with filling your refrigerators, getting the people hired, getting your leases extended, getting the marketing out there, et cetera, et cetera. And all this is unfortunately going to take time. So hopefully the quicker the better, and people will reply on it.
What metrics do you expect CEOs or CFOs will really need to continue to focus on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the metrics, let's go high level, and I talked through some of them already. It's about liquidity, liquidity, liquidity. And the three main ratios are current, quick, and cash. Let me kind of take a little bit of time just to refresh everybody's memory. A current ratio is where you take your monetary, all your assets and liabilities, monetary assets and liabilities, and you divide assets by the liabilities. That gives you a current ratio. The difference to that of a quick ratio is that of inventory. So in a quick ratio, you take your assets, you take your inventories out, assuming the worst case that you can't get rid of your inventory. That's why they do that. Pull the inventory out and divide it by liabilities. That's a second test of really a liquidity ratio. And the last one is the cash ratio. And the cash ratio is where you divide your current cash by your current liabilities and see how much money you have to actually pay off your current liabilities. And so these are all pretty important aspects that, first of all, people look at. Then they go further into the capital ratios of assets minus the liabilities, of really looking at, okay, what capital ratio do I have? So this will be another metric of companies being measured by much more stringently on, is assets minus the liabilities are your capital ratios. Then you start going into how will the business be in fact impacted by what is termed the liquidity trap. The liquidity trap is where people actually have the cash and the credit, but aren't spending it because they may be afraid of still losing their jobs, et cetera. So now you have an economy where, okay, I'm spending money, I'm going to get back in, get things going. My ratios are good again, or they will be good again. Now my assumptions have to be somewhere around this liquidity trap of when will people actually spend money. It's definitely going to be an increased discussion at boards once they understand the ratios that I mentioned earlier on the liquidity ratios and the capital ratios. And last but not least is on liquidity ends up being market liquidity. What are the financial instruments? How liquid are they? And how liquid are our own corporate financial instruments, such as issuing of debt, commercial papers, et cetera, to access the capital markets and to manage the financial risks, such as hedges, et cetera. Those are kind of, that's a lot of information there. And again, probably a webinar in itself, but liquidity, the cash ratios, the capital ratios, the liquidity trap, and market liquidity are key discussions and metrics with CEOs, CFOs, and boards, and their investors and their debtors right now.
Wolfgang, you've talked about the metrics that CFOs and CEOs need to increasingly focus on to help improve and increase their liquidity in their organization. Can you tell us how Kyriba's active liquidity network will help them in that process?
Yeah, so the active liquidity efforts is kind of a two levels. Let me go there first is, you know, I think we spend a lot of time that that this is at the center, the liquidity is at the center. And at the center of that at the end is that if one has better visibility with high confidence, one can spend more time actively managing liquidity and working the network provided through Kyriba. So, you know, we at Kyriba really pioneered this area to give CFOs and treasurers access, really seamlessly integrating all the functionalities and workflows needed to have more intelligent, efficient, and secure, very important, liquidity. So the network connects the essential platforms that include treasury and risk, foreign exchange, payments, innovative payments, cross-border payments, supply chain finance, dynamic discounting, payables, et cetera, in order to really create a platform that corporations can use. And the ones that have started to use it or have started that journey and who have not yet need to start that journey, because it isn't just about treasury and as a cost center, it is about finance at the center of the storm, really having access to various tools that they require to manage it, not just cash that's available, but really manage the company and the working capital and the cash flow, leveraging our technology and gaining access to liquidity, et cetera, as well, because we're also obviously hooked up to over 600 banks. We have hundreds of thousands of suppliers that are on this from a supply chain financing area. So there's different ways to tap into the four pillars that I mentioned earlier. I think that what's really important here is the word liquidity, I think, is pretty clear. It's pretty obvious. I think active is starting to come through, hopefully through this podcast, that we've seen actively managing, once you have the knowledge, will give you a competitive advantage. So probably not too difficult of a concept once one thinks about it. I think the last one is maybe still a growing one, but we intentionally used it, which is what is the network? And really, when I think of network, I think about two things for our customers. One is the power of Kyriba is we're modular. You can start with one module and then add three more and five more, whatever you want to, and really keep tapping into areas that you want to solve at your pace, at your speed, at your focus. And having that network and having the ability to be purely SaaS, purely cloud-based and seamlessly connected, even, you know, with the acquisition of FireApps, is seamlessly integrated now, you wouldn't even recognize the difference anymore. So really the vision of Jean-Luc as the chairman, CEO and founder and the board, and then obviously the executive staff following that vision and supporting that vision and continuing that vision and expanding that vision. It's really important to understand A, the network of all our modules and our technology. And the other one that is the network, we are really facilitating financial transactions with platforms, with banks, with suppliers, with buyers, with central banks, with governments, and really creating this network that's already established when all of a sudden somebody says, I want to now add a bank to my network. Well, typically, the typical for a large corporation, it typically costs them over $1 million to then onboard one bank because it's a lot of system integration, et cetera. Well, we've already established all those in current terms called APIs before ETFs, et cetera, whatever they're called. But all these connectivities and really being able to plug into that network is crucial, as we've already done it, and time is always crucial for these companies. So that's why it's important to understand also the network effect of our active liquidity, and therefore we term this active liquidity network.
Excellent. Thank you, Wolfgang. I think that really concludes today our podcast, and we appreciate your insights and look forward to hearing more about the velocity of money from you in the future.
Thank you very much, Daniel. I appreciate the time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Active Liquidity Podcast, Insights on the Go from Kyriba. For more information, go to kyriba.com. Thanks for listening.